everybody. So here we are again, talking about coaching. My name is Yannick. As always, I'm here with Sebas and Nikki. Today's question is something that has kept popping up from different coaches that I work with, and they said, "My client talks like a waterfall. I don't get a word in for like 10, 20, sometimes even 30 minutes. They're just like unload, and like I feel we're lost, and like they're just going around in circles, and I find it difficult to intervene. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be interrupting them. You know, it's important to leave space. I want to be present with them and take it all in. But in my back of my mind, everything goes crazy, and I have all of these things, and I don't want to take notes perhaps because, you know, that kind of is a bit distracting, or like, so how do I get a foot in the door so I can do a coaching intervention, you know, because otherwise I'm just listening, and then, you know, what makes it coaching rather than therapy, or rather than just, you know, being a lamppost to just kind of give them the space. And while many of them do appreciate that there's a lot of value in having somebody just kind of release something, you know, and kind of just get some stuff out of their system, they really want to coach, you know, and coaching for them involves, well, making an intervention, like helping to support them, to guide them, or to ask questions. But if you don't get to ask a question because they don't stop talking, what do you do? So that's the question I'm going to put on the table today for us to discuss.
Okay, interesting.
Have you had clients like this?
Yep.
That seems like a recent one.
Well, it's someone that I still work with, but the relationship has changed. Mm-hmm. Right, and I think the first word that popped up for me is leadership, right? Because in that relationship, this is a client that was paying fairly well, and for me, I was just stepping back and thinking, okay, well, let's see what the client's bringing to the session, mm-hmm. right? But then noticing that there's not much happening, and the client actually came with a specific goal to achieve, you know, a goal that she wanted to achieve in 12 months, and for me, it was a great area of growth, where I had to actually step in and say, hey, are we using our time, you know, in the way we want it? Mm-hmm. And actually just being transparent and saying, is this the way you want to spend mm-hmm. your time?
Mm-hmm. And that's right? One of the most powerful questions, I think, mm-hmm. in this regard, you know, how do I get the foot in the door? Whatever. But like all of that aside, when you do get to speak, or at the very least at the end of the session, you know, take a few minutes and ask that question. Hey, are we using our time as best as we can? Are you getting what you need out of this? Mm-hmm. You know, if you work quite humanistically, you might share. I have shared in the past. It's like, I'm not sure about you. I want this to be super useful for you. But like, mm-hmm. I feel I'm sitting in, I'm listening, and it's I'm questioning whether that's as useful as this space could be.
Yeah.
You know, are you happy with what we're doing here? Mm-hmm. Because if they're happy to just kind of have a space to talk, and if that's super useful to them, mm-hmm. then I need to make a decision as a coach whether I'm okay with just sitting there and listening. Mm-hmm. You know, I like listening, mm-hmm. but maybe I don't want to sit there and hold myself back all the time thinking, how can I get a word in? Mm-hmm. You know? But some coaches are very happy with that because they know it's very useful and valuable. Mm-hmm. But having that conversation and co-creating that space together, you know, that's super important, and that's part of the contracting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, I align with everything you've just said. I think initially, and depending how often I've had contact with the client and whether it's a pattern, kind of probably sit there happily listening. That's definitely something I've had to learn to own. I think very much as a coach starting out, you have that eagerness to like to help and to really be present and just kind of, yeah, let them kind of get out what they want to say that's been really powerful. And actually that's been a very transformative experience for me as well, just holding the space. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And uncomfortable at times, definitely. And you feel like, you know, oh, are they getting their money's worth? Am I doing enough? Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, if I pick up eventually, if I sense like, oh, it's funny, you know, they're saying they're procrastinating on the thing that they've come here to work on, and all we've done for two sessions is just talk and go over the same things over and over again, I might just kind of air or voice, you know, put that out there and say like, hey, I'm sensing like, mm-hmm. you know, is that what's happening? Or very much like you guys said, like, is this what you're wanting to get out of the session? Or, you know, should I be, do we need to be more proactive?
And so you touch on something super important there, because very often what's happening between me and my client, you know, if they don't stop talking, or like if they don't allow you space to interact, you know, if that's a certain relationship that you
definitely
have. And very often that's exactly what's playing out between that client and their surrounding world.
Yeah, it's very telling.
So just sharing how you experience the space and your relationship can be so mind-opening for that client. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter how long it takes. Sometimes it's important that they talk for 20, 30 minutes, you don't get a word in.
Yeah.
Because then when you do speak, then you can reflect those things back.
Yeah.
You know, and contracting is the bit that doesn't only happen at the beginning, at the end. We talked about the end a little bit, like when you do get a word in, when there is a break, or at the end of the session and you do some of that stuff. But you could also do that in the very beginning when you set up your coaching space. You might ask from the very get-go for permission to interrupt sometimes.
Okay.
Now, is it okay? It's like, sometimes I might interrupt. Is that okay with you? Very simple stuff.
Nice.
Nobody's ever said no because they tend to value your input. That's why they're there. But then they don't really notice how they're falling into their patterns of just being like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
So when you do ask for that permission, it's fine to just do that, you know, and something like, it can be very easy. It's like, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to interrupt. I hate to interrupt people, but can I just have a word in? Because it seems quite important, and it's something that kept popping up, and I feel I want to make the most use of our time here. So I feel it's important to say this. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You know, and even I now talked way too much about it probably already, but it can be so easy to interrupt. Sorry, can I just say something? You know?
Yeah.
Very simple. Asking for permission, they give it, you know, with some body language, raising an arm or something like that. You know, leaning back and then coming back in, leaning forward, is like a very clear sign, oh, this person wants to get involved here. You know, it's like, good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess on that note, the intention behind why you're interrupting
is equally important. It's always on their side. Yeah,
if that is the intention, sorry.
If it is
to help and support rather than just feeling frustrated that, you know, it's like a one-way street and you're not participating. But I think what you said is also very right. If you don't want to be the kind of coach who just sits there, you know, being the ears and listening for five sessions on a go, then I think it's honest and it's okay to just say, like, this isn't usually my style, you know.
And that's why it's so important to tell people about your style in the beginning as you start coaching.
Yeah.
You know, you would say, look, I'm like this, I'm like that. I'm going to give you lots of space because I believe in that space the magic happens.
Yeah.
And you might hear me not responding and allowing the silence, because out of the silence, something important grows in my experience. Or that coach might say, look, we're going to move very fast here, you know, and when I feel we're wasting time, I'm going to do something about it,
which
might mean I interrupt you occasionally. When I feel that's important to your benefit, you know, we can review this after at the end of the session and see how that's working for you. But that's how I work. You know, is that something you want to get engaged in?
I like it.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to set clear expectations, right? Because often, as a coach, you might be thinking, "Well, this is not useful," but it might be really useful.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
So, and I've seen that expectations often, well, not communicating expectations can lead to disappointments, right? On both sides. The client can say after a few sessions, well, I'm not really getting what I want.
Exactly.
And you're like, well, this, you're the one that's talking about so-and-so-so, right? So what happened in my, I have a particular a client where this happened, and after a few sessions, actually, I brought this up, and she said, well, this is why I enjoy working with you, because most people I've worked with, they're the one leading and just talking, and I'm just kind of going along.
Exactly.
But now you give me the space to, you know, talk and bring my emotions out and express myself. But then when we went back to, okay, well, that's cool, I'm happy you find it useful. Well, what about the initial goal? And he said, okay, well, can we start every session with an intention? Like, what is our focus for the month? What is our focus for the quarter? Right? And that really helped to, you know, set some milestones. But in between that, you know, we can go a little bit, we can go a little bit off track.
And just being really, really curious about what's going on here right now, that's always helped me, you know. If somebody talks about something where I don't know how this is relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I want to assume that this is relevant because mm-hmm. I assume that they're using the space in a way that's useful for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if I come from a position of I'm really curious why we're talking about this because we agreed to work on this.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell me how this is relates?
Yeah.
Sometimes they say this relates in this or that way. And sometimes they say, I totally went off on a tangent. Yeah. Thanks for bringing me back.
Yeah.
You know, because coaches, part of our role as coaches, as I see it, is to keep somebody focused on what you agreed to work on.
Yeah.
And if you agree to work on something very smart, very specific, very focused,
mm-hmm.
you know, then that's part of your, it's your job. It's important. It's, you're obliged to step in there.
Exactly. Yeah,
and
I'd agree.
Inquire how that's relevant to what you're working on. If the goal is more vague, you know, then you can be really curious about how this is related to what we're talking about and how this is useful, you know, and mm-hmm. sometimes connections are made when you allow people to go wherever they want to
exactly.
or need to go.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of more therapeutic
yeah.
idea of everything is relevant.
Yeah.
If they talk about something, that's valuable. That's there for a reason. And if you figure out why they're talking about that, and it might not be this topic is relevant to my goal in this way. It mm-hmm. might be, when I talk about something, this kind of stuff, what I want to achieve, then I usually avoid it by talking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
And spotting that pattern by being curious about why that person talks about something that seems irrelevant
mm-hmm.
is super important to be able to reflect back and for the client to understand. It's like, oh, I'm doing that thing again where I'm avoiding working on this thing.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting here and I'm spending lots or little or some money or resources trying to figure that out. And I'm still procrastinating mm-hmm. in a way, you know, I'm still avoiding really talking about it.
Yeah.
And it's really important to put that on the table in
yeah.
the coaching session so that the client can then choose how they want to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think nothing's ever wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, as a coach, you know, your responsibility is to kind of gauge whether it's still productive.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not your decision, but you need to be curious about whether that's productive. And then
yes.
allow the client to decide how to move forward with that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a thought about this that is related, but it's actually looking at it from a different perspective because often we focus so much on the client.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is such a great area of growth for the coach,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that's why having a coach or having supervision is so essential,
mm-hmm.
right? Because often, you know, what the distinction comes up is here serving and pleasing. Often
mm-hmm.
the coach ends up pleasing the client
mm-hmm.
and not really, and this is why there's such a huge area of growth here because when the coach focuses on, well, is this pleasing, am I here pleasing the client or am I
mm-hmm.
serving the client?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the coach can be so much more valuable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, you know, like Kenny said, it's our job to, well, not to be different, but it's our job to do what is required because
yeah.
their friends and family can listen to their stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And their friends and family can give them advice,
mm-hmm.
but they don't come to that for that to us.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
So often our job
it depends because like there's a quality of listening. Mm-hmm. I think most friends and family, like coaches, are trained in listening without judgment
yeah.
and like really allowing that space, you know, and really actively responding, really actively listening, you know, summarizing, you hear yourself talk. I think it's a very different quality of being listened to than when you work with, like when you talk to friends or family or, you know, some friends and family, they're amazing listeners.
Mm-hmm.
But like most friends and family, they're probably not as good a listener as a trained coach or therapist.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, and I think there's probably like, it probably again comes back to the coach's approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
But I think it's just really, you know, what I've often seen is that, you know, that it's where the coaches, you know, need to work on that skill of, well, listening, but also being able to actually stop the client, being able to call the client out on something,
mm-hmm.
being able to actually say, you know, where is this going, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's that, you know, coming back to the truth and not just, you know, talking around things and
mm-hmm.
because often, and again, this is maybe not so much, and it's more a personal opinion. I see where coaches become a bit better at being a bit more direct,
mm-hmm.
being more transparent in actually clearing out whatever is on their mind and bringing it on the table. The relationship gets better and better,
mm-hmm.
and it takes
right?
courage, right?
Yeah,
it takes courage to interrupt somebody. It takes courage to say, where's this going?
Definitely,
because no
yeah.
matter how politely you phrase it,
yeah,
the client might hear, oh, you know, it's like, oh, what I'm talking is not relevant, or like, you know, I'm not doing this right, you know. So as soon as you inquire, even if it's with the most curiosity, there's always some element of I'm interrupting and I'm steering a process.
It's jarring,
like,
for sure.
I'm taking responsibility by intervening here. So it can be really jarring. So I really like what you said, that this is a learning opportunity for us as coaches, because how do I deal with not getting to say something? How do I perceive it that I don't feel I'm fulfilling my duty as a coach? Mm. You know, because if you just listen for half an hour, sometimes I sat in a session and I felt at the time I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was just sitting there listening, you know, when actually sitting there listening and not intervening and allowing the client space and being really curious and fully present, that's a lot of hard work.
It's a huge skill, yeah.
It's a lot of work not to interrupt and not to intervene.
And sometimes those are the sessions that the client finds the most powerful.
Yeah. Mm. And I remember that, yeah. that time when I asked at the end of a super frustrating session for me. I was sitting there, it was really frustrating. And at the end, I was like, so are we making best use of our time? You know, that question that we mentioned in the beginning. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. This was amazing. This was the best session that I've ever had in my life. And I'm like,
oh.
I was just sitting there. I was literally just sitting there and listening to this person, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's really important. Like, I still didn't enjoy the work. I didn't enjoy that session, but like, sometimes it's work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard work to listen to somebody. And therapists know that way more than coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a matter of personal style. And I think it's important that we reflect on how we're feeling in a situation
mm-hmm.
where we feel we don't get to get involved and, you know, be as much of a equal part in this relationship
mm-hmm.
in terms of who says something and, mm-hmm. you know, how do I feel in this role
mm-hmm.
of
yeah.
not being very active
mm-hmm.
as a coach?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that is okay with me? Do I want to change something about my marketing or about the people that I'm attracting or want to work with, the people I say yes to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because especially in the beginning, we want to say yes to every client who's willing to work with us.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, hopefully we become more selective,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you need to make a decision. Some coaches are very happy to just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
Some coaches, it's gruesome, you know, it's grueling to sit there and not
yeah.
get to be an active part of the relationship.
Interesting. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think also something, and this could be probably like a whole different episode, but think about this. Often you find coaches on the other spectrum where they're actually talking too much.
Mm-hmm.
It comes
mm-hmm.
kind of to you, one of
mm-hmm.
your statements where you said, am I giving enough value?
Mm-hmm.
Often we end up talking too much as coaches because we want to give more
mm-hmm.
value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some coaches there that probably need to create more space and
mm-hmm.
silence. And there's other coaches that probably need to, you know, take a bit more leadership mm-hmm. and ask specific
Definitely.
Questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this useful? Checking in,
yeah.
you know, are we on the right track?
Mm-hmm.
Depends, right? Depends on the style, because like I've heard quite a few coaches say, oh, it should be 80-20. Like
mm-hmm.
the client talks 80%,
mm-hmm.
you talk 20%.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't talk that much, is it still coaching? Is a valid question. But coaching is such a broad range of what it can be.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just sitting there for an hour listening to somebody, is that still coaching? And plenty of people will tell you, yeah, absolutely. And some people will tell you, absolutely not. So,
well, I think if we're talking over the course of one session or like a couple of sessions, especially probably at the beginning when you have a new client and you're just getting to know who they are, what their problem is, especially if they don't know what their problem is and they're just
yeah.
speaking about everything, I think, you know, putting it in perspective helps. I think then, yeah, you tolerate that for a while or slash it's relevant. But if after 10 sessions, that's still the dynamic. Yeah, of course,
yeah.
I would say
yeah.
you just either question whether it's
yeah.
right for you or like question whether
yeah.
they are just, you
yeah.
know. Yeah, getting what they need.
You need to
do.
Question whether you still want to work with that client on that basis.
For
and,
sure.
Most importantly, whether that client gets the value that they
yeah.
want from that session.
Yeah.
You know, and beyond that, for me personally, everybody needs to decide what coaching is.
Mm-hmm.
If
yeah.
for you, coaching is sitting there listening for 10 hours and not really saying much, I think that's therapy, but you might think that's coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as coaching is concerned, I can't tell you what coaching is and isn't. I mean, I can, and, you know, I have on occasion, but this is my take on coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, some take of coaching that is accepted in certain circles
mm-hmm.
or certain schools or certain, you know, academic schools.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a coach and I talk to that one person and they tell me, this is what I believe coaching is, I cannot tell them that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can only tell them other people think differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it would be useful to, as a coach, to reflect after every session. how am I feeling about this? Mm-hmm. And again, bring it up with a coach or a supervisor. Mm-hmm. Because for me personally, I used to scribble on a paper like, you know, be the coach, take leadership. When with some clients, I felt like I was just letting go. Mm-hmm. With other clients, I felt like I was talking too much, and I put a sign behind my computer that says, why are you talking?
Yeah.
Right? And it just reminding myself, well, why am I talking? What's mm-hmm. the purpose?
Yeah.
Right? And it's often that when we create more space, and again, it's a thing, such a deep topic, mm-hmm. right? It's really thinking, well, am I serving the client? Where's my area of growth? Mm-hmm. Am I enjoying this?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's this acronym, no? Wait. Why am I talking?
I
don't remember
okay.
where it came from.
That's
awesome.
That's, if it's not trademark, let's trademark it.
I don't care about trademarks. But anyway, so I mean, in summary, that's it. It's a more complex question, but it depends how you feel about it, and it depends what the client wants. I think contracting is a big factor mm-hmm. in the beginning, setting up your space and how you are and your style. But also afterwards, after at the end of a session or when there is a break, you know, once you get to say something or when you do interrupt, mm-hmm. it's important to going forward. How do we manage this?
Yeah.
You know, so I think these are the main points.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And if you're watching this, let us know in the comments what your style is. What do you do when someone is talking too much? How do you jump in? How do you intervene?
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to hear.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for watching or listening, and we'll see you soon. Hey, everybody. If you found this conversation helpful for you and your coaching practice, then there's a couple of ways that you can support the podcast and stay up to date with future episodes. Obviously, you can subscribe on here on YouTube if that's your jam. If you want to get it straight into your inbox, never miss an episode, there's a link in the description to can sign up for our mailing list. You can leave us a review or follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and come join us on Facebook. We'll get the conversation going there. Obviously, leave us a comment. You can support us on Patreon. And any way you choose to do that, tell a friend, whatever you want to do. We really appreciate it, and we hope you get a lot out of it. So, see you next time.